One loyal friend is worth 10,000 relatives. Welcome to the Only Friends Podcast with Mike Powers and Woo Woo.
Episode 3, the Only Friends Podcast. It's Mike Powers at Mike Powers Live. It's Woo Woo at Woo Woo underscore 949 on Instagram and Twitter. And this is our first show with a guest.
Yes, first podcast with a guest. Third episode of our Only Friends Podcast. And I have to say a quick shout out to those of you who have listened and have texted me and have sent support, text messages of support. Also just saying how much they love the podcast and love our honesty. But I did get a text message from somebody the other day who will remain anonymous, but just said, "Hey girl, it's been a while and hope you're well. Heard your podcast and appreciate the honest depiction. Exactly why I limit my interactions with many of these girls."
Fucking A right.
Yeah.
That's the deal. That's the deal. I think the beautiful part about listening back to those podcasts, especially on your end, not once did you claim to be this perfect human being or anything like that.
No, I've made mistakes.
You were just real.
But God forbid we went around judging everybody based on their mistakes. You'd have no friends.
We are all so messed up. All of us are so messed up. And the fact that we get to amplify how fucked up we are on this podcast is such a good feeling.
I love it.
It's such a great feeling. And today we got a fucked up friend on with us. No, we got somebody
who's
really cool, and he lives out in LA, and he is a musician, and he's going to go by the name of JG today, and he plays in a band called Winter Plans. His album is actually already out on Spotify and
all the platforms.
When we recorded the podcast, it wasn't out yet, but you can get it now. Really, really good stuff. Dark stuff, pretty deep person. And as the conversation goes on, you'll notice the conversation gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's really good.
Hello.
JG.
Yo.
It's Mike and Woo Woo. How you doing?
Mike, how you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Oh, you know, hanging out here in COVID land.
Yeah, you're in Los Angeles, huh?
I am.
Los Angeles is really fucked up right now. I mean,
it's really fucked up.
It's like a post-apocalyptic world, and a lot of people here on the East Coast really don't understand or have a grip on how crazy it is out there right now. Let's start there. What the fuck are you doing out there?
I'm telling you, we can't, at the beginning, we couldn't leave the house at all. Like, in other words, like, we always go surfing in the morning in Malibu, you literally couldn't surf. So some of the most crowded surf breaks in the world were empty, and no one had ever seen anything like it. I mean, since the 20s, 30s, 40s, you could look on these surf cams and see just miles and miles of perfect waves with no one on them. And you had to stay in your neighborhood, and you couldn't hardly do anything but go like to the grocery store, like exercise. And now we're back almost the same thing, but the beaches are still open, but you can't, no restaurants, just take out, salons, all that stuff, they're all closed. Literally, we've been stuck in the house since March. We can't mix with other households, and I got to tell you, there's a lot of people out here that are used to moving around, and they're used to, you know, we've got friends that are used to being, you know, or actors or actresses that are used to being on production somewhere at least part of the year, and they've been in their house, and, you know, the mental health thing is going downhill quick.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are being forced to kind of look inside a little bit during these times and work on themselves. And I know that, like, you've been doing that. You're a friend of the Butt Doctors, which makes you a friend of Woo Woo's, which makes you a friend of mine.
Yeah, I know him intimately.
Yeah, I'm glad you're joining us here on our third episode of the podcast, because we are going to talk a little bit about, you know, how you dove into music. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about isolation, and we're going to talk about how you categorize your friends. These things are pretty fascinating to me. So let's get down to business here.
Let's talk about the music first, JG. You've got this new album. It's coming out tomorrow. It's a 6-song EP. We were just listening to it in the studio. The first single alone, I love Ghosts, obviously. How did you come up with this whole writing process? It came before COVID, is that right?
Yeah, the short story is back in like 2009, I was living full-time in Virginia, and I met a friend of mine, Kara McGee, who's Lewis McGee, who's, you guys all know, who's played gigs around Hampton Roads forever. He's awesome. And she was having sort of a rough time going through a divorce. I was too. And, you know, we were like, well, why don't we get the ultimate revenge and write a real bitter album about it. And we did. I didn't hardly know her at the time. And we put it out in 2010. And, you know, it's a little angry, but it was a lot of fun. We both actually ended up in Los Angeles, which is where we did it. This winter, I was living back in Virginia, which I do in the winter for work. You know, I was living in this big, creepy old house in Richmond. And it was, you know, it rained all the time. It was gray. And I just started right back in. And then COVID hit. And I was like, well, this sort of, all this makes sense. And I sort of finished it then. By then, Kara had a baby. And she was actually, she moved back to Virginia temporarily because of L.A., just the chaos. And she had a young kid. And so her sister, Casey, was in Nashville. I was like, hey, why don't you come out here? If I can find a studio that's open, let's do these six songs. They're pretty dark, and we'll just do piano and guitar, and and then we'll do some strings. And the string story is another amazing story.
It sounds really good. Really good.
Yeah, it's really nice. We were just listening to it to try to get in the mood before we came on here with you. And the thing that I find interesting is you were saying it's pretty dark, and that was before COVID even happened. So you must have put yourself in a much darker place recording half the record, and then COVID happens and you do the other half of the record.
You know, when you go from living with your family in bright, sunny at Los Angeles to working in pretty dark conditions and you're alone all the time, it's pretty, I mean, it wasn't, we transitioned to COVID, I was already sort of there. So
you're like, I'm a couple steps ahead of you.
It wasn't that hard for me. And so, I mean, I just sit up there in this haunted house and just write these songs. And I'm telling you, that house was definitely something weird. In fact, your partner over there, Woo, came and visited me with her friend. I can't refer to him by the name you all. I'm trying to be a little more polite.
Dan, okay, yeah, that's
her
boyfriend.
Yeah, these guys, before COVID hit, I told these guys to come up and have a drink one night. And my wife actually was in town from L.A. And we're sitting there in the living room in this big old antebellum creepy house in the fan, and one of them goes, hey, what kind of dog you got? And I'm like, well, I don't have a dog.
And it was, they're weird.
Like, I just saw a dog go by. I'm like, well, that would be par for the course, because I would come home late at night and smell these crazy like smells, like perfume smells of like, but like an old man smell.
Wow.
That would come in and out. I mean, this place was, I'm not
haunted.
A big superstitious guy. I'm not really on that side of the fence often, but this place was, it was for sure haunted. So,
you know what's crazy about that, dude? The fact that you were haunted by a dog, which is very rare. You never see that. And the fact that you had Woo Woo in your house, who was extremely turned on by old men, and you had an old man ghost in the house. I mean, she must have been really fucking worked up. I mean,
I ended up passing out.
Yeah, okay. I could see why. I could see why. Well, that's crazy.
I'm telling you, that place was weird, man. I mean, I'm literally, you'd come home and you'd smell something, and you'd think someone was in the next room.
Holy cow. So you're writing a record, recording half in quarantine, half before quarantine. The results are, you got a pretty, like, it's very cool, but you have a very dark and ghostly type of sound now, and I love it. It makes perfect sense.
Thank you. Yeah, it was so cool. And actually, I think the coolest part of the whole thing was, we were like, look, this doesn't, it's got no bass guitar, it's got no drums, it's got no, you know, low end or any of that stuff. We got to get a string person. Mm-hmm. How are we going to get a string person in COVID, right? Half the studios are closed. I like doing it with somebody I know, or at least have a one person connection with. And I remember I was sitting there at this event with one of our best friend's moms. And I was like, hey, how'd you meet? How did the kids meet? And the mom was like, she's like 75. She goes, we played in the same orchestra in L.A. in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and we just went studio to studio and played on all these records. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And my friend's dad played cello, and then my friend's mom played violin. And I was like, so, like, what kind of stuff did you play on? She's like, soundtracks and, you know, albums. And I'm like, what? And she's like, well, like Thriller and the Eagles and most of the Grateful Dead, Elvis Costello. We did Jaws, most of the soundtracks of the 80s, 70s. And she started reeling off all this stuff. I mean, there wasn't anything that they didn't do.
They cool.
Just literally every day went studio to studio, got the sheet music, knocked it out. And so I was asking all these stories. I was like, by the way, she said Elvis Costello was her favorite by a long shot, which I didn't see that coming.
That's fantastic.
And so the summer I was like, oh, I wonder if she's been retired for like 10 years, but I wonder if I could get her to do this. And I did. I couldn't use her real name because of the union, they still get royalties on all those records.
Well, I mean, fucking hope so. I mean, it's Jaws. Yeah. We're talking about Jaws and Elvis Costello. We're talking about some really big records here. Dude.
Oh, huge. I mean, everyone you could think of. I was naming stuff, pulling it out of the hat. In the 60s and 70s, the Carpenters. I mean, you name Earth, Wind, and Fire, all the funk stuff.
Yeah, and she's playing with you.
Now she's playing with you on this really fucked up, dark record. She's probably like, man, this guy's got issues, man.
I thought she would hate it. I was like, she is going to be miserable. And so I called her and I was like, hey, do you have any time? And she was like, hold on, there's no direction? I'm like, none. You play whatever you want.
Wow.
And at first she was a little bit pissed. And then she sort of settled in and really, really loved it. She had such a blast. And she hadn't done it in probably 10, 12 years. So that's how we got the strings, is to convince her to do it.
Well, she was probably really excited at the fact that she could do that because, you know, her whole life, John Williams, the great conductor and composer, is telling her what to do. And she's like, well, I guess I can finally start to do my own thing. It's a nice bit of freedom to give another musician. You want to transfer a little woo-woo and talk about JG's isolation situation?
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to say because, you know, Carrie, your wonderful wife who works in PR, she's fabulous, but she sent over, you know, a little quote from you that says, these songs were written about isolation as a means of bringing people together with a shared reminder to make an extra effort with one another. The quick check-ins, the random acts of kindness, the grace of understanding, incredible gifts of friendship. How did you translate, you know, your experiences with that isolation into the music and maybe share some of those experiences with us? Because I know you are into friendships and connections, but you'd rather have fewer friends and deeper connections. Do I have that right, do you think?
That's probably about right. I'll, there's all kinds of, as Mike was saying, like, we focus on the negatives of all everything that's happened, but there's been some really cool stuff. And I'll tell you, for me, the coolest thing has been in March when this thing started going south. We were supposed to be at this wedding, a friend of ours in LA, that was going down to Mexico, and the thing got canceled last minute. However, about 7 or 8 of us were already there, including the people getting married and a handful of other people, half of whom I didn't know. And so we were stuck with them from March on, and then that became our quarantine pod for the whole year.
Wow.
And I will tell you, it is the most diverse group of people. We've got an actress, a relatively well-known actress, a celebrity spray tanner, me, my wife, a woman who owns a salon, a woman who works in cannabis, which is legal.
Hey, JG, can I get the celebrity spray tanner's phone number for a future interview? I'm curious to know who's getting spray tanned in Hollywood.
I'll be honest with you, she is one of my favorites of the whole group.
That's
cool. Just pure tennis, raised in Tennessee, one of those, you know, reminds me of everything that's great about Nashville, which is where I met my wife, but just that pure do anything for you. And so now, as a result, this group, again, half of whom we didn't even know are as tight as you can ever imagine. I mean, one of them got a Camp Quarantine, which is our little camp name, tattoo. I mean, it's nuts. And everybody in that group says good morning on a group text, and everybody in that group says good night. And there's like, I think there's 10 people in that. And every holiday, to the extent it's been legal, we've spent from Easter to Friendsgiving to all that with the same group of people.
What happened to your regular family? What do you do with them? What do you do with them when you inherit this new COVID family? And it's well documented in the world of like psychology, when you go through great suffering with people, it will bring them closer together, complete strangers. But like, you, all right, obviously you have a regular family. And I'm not talking about the wife and kids. I'm just talking about other friends and other family. Do they get pushed to the back burner? Is this a good time to segue into your friend categorization? How do you even say that?
Categorization.
Is it a good time to transfer into that?
I mean, I checked in on everybody as much as I could. I'm a loyal friend, but if you're not with me and you're not checking in on me, I mean, on that record, there's always a little bit of an undercurrent of, you know, settling scores with who stepped up and who didn't.
Ooh.
And some of these people that I didn't even know stepped up a lot more than people that I've known for a long time. As I told Woo Woo before, I put experiences in buckets, and it's a 1 to 10 level.
Mm-hmm.
It's an energy. How much energy do I have to put into this? If it's a 1 to a 4, I'll probably show up. Like, not much energy. I don't have to work. It's, you know, not a lot of small talk. If it starts to get above 5, You might be tough to get me there.
Oh, wow.
And I love that.
Yeah. If it's a 5 to 10, it's unlikely I'm going to be there. And, you know, you start rating events that you got to, anything, an interaction with a person, going out to dinner with them, or going to an event, or, I mean, work. Look, most work stuff is going to be fall somewhere, hopefully in the middle, but on the personal side, it better be a 0 to a 3.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that, though, JG, do you think is in your own head? When you're going into these situations with friends, especially friends from your past, you know, they expect you, or they might expect you to be a certain way or at a certain energy level. And as we get older, and I know you're a meditator, and so am I, you start to look for those situations where they're a little more low key, where you don't have to be turned on all the time. But how much of it is you going, they're expecting a certain level out of me, so I can't go there? Or is it really them wanting it?
No, 100%. You wouldn't ask that question if you weren't a meditator, so you get it. I mean, some of that, and the layering on of expectations is something you're supposed to unlayer in the meditations, which is, you know, I think, obviously I've done a decent job of, not perfect. It's different. I mean, and also, like, it's different. The way people operate in Los Angeles is very different than the way they operate in Virginia, which is very different than the way they operate in Nashville. And I tend to be more of a low-key, you know, don't talk about everybody's business, you know, keep, you know, just sort of keep the interactions real on a authentic level, not the surface level. And that's, I found that a little bit easier out here, you know, where you've got, essentially everybody came here trying to prove something, you know, and trying to best what they did in whatever their hometown was. And so there's a little bit of an ease in that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I find that a little bit easier. But also, as you just said, you gotta work against those tendencies to, you know, to, some of that is on your end, and so you try to be open as nice as you can. Isn't that the key though? That's the balance.
Yeah. I know my wife, and I've told Wu about this many times. I know my wife has told me, like, there are certain situations that I couldn't put myself in, and then she said, well, you have to give people the opportunity to get used to this mic. Because this mic is way different than Mike 5 years ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago.
I want to recap everything real quick. If you're just joining us, we have JG on the phone with us from Los Angeles talking about his new album. It's a six-song EP. And JG, when we wrap everything up, we're going to play a song at the end of this podcast. Do you have a favorite song, though, that, you know, you'd like us to share with the listeners? Ghost, Alone, Cost, Night, Shake, Panic. Which one should we play out?
Probably Alone is the most appropriate one. I mean, look, this is music if it's radio friendly, it's probably radio friendly on, you know, a late night show or some sort of morning, becomes eclectic Sunday morning deal. It's meant to be listened to in the winter. It's probably meant to be listened to with headphones, and you know, it's not snappy, but Alone is probably the most snappy according to the guys in Nashville that did the producing of it.
Okay. Yeah. We'll play that on the way out. I mean, I love it. Yeah. I think it sounds great.
And stop downplaying yourself, man. It's just, it's music.
Yeah,
it's
I'm good. Just telling you, look, this is no sunny day walk in the park stuff.
No, but it can't all be puppy dogs and ice cream all the time, JG. You wrote this from your soul. This comes out of your soul. So don't beat yourself up over it or make excuses for it. If people are going to shut it off, fuck them. Let them shut it off. If people are going to keep it on, they're going to connect with you on the level you were just talking about, the level you want to be at with people, right?
Yeah, if it's not, to me, like, it's the same thing with everything, right? Music, if I have a sort of prejudice, it's against people that don't have a passion for something. I mean, yeah. If we're going to be friends, you're going to have to be into something, and you have to give it. So if it's going to be, if you're going to take a shot at writing a song, you know, whether it's your profession or not your profession, or, you know, it's somewhere in between, you better make it real. And if we're gonna talk about something, small talk, it's not gonna be small. That's just the way I am. So I mean,
that's cool.
You're gonna get the best shot I can give you.
I love it. I mean, I think this is great. I wish I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I was kind of telling Mike a little bit of your backstory, and Dan was talking a little bit about it, because I was trying to tell Mike, the first two episodes of our podcast, we talked in depth about friends and divorce and what happens when you go through a pretty public divorce in a small town and friends choose different sides. And I've been struggling with this one, you know all too well, but I've been struggling with this one friend that we focused two episodes on, who is still,
you know, she basically dumped me as a friend when I was going through my divorce, when things were messy. She basically said, I don't want to be associated with somebody like you. And Dan was like, you know, you should ask JG for advice. You should ask him, how do you work through all of that?
I mean, I could talk about it all day. First of all, it's got to be incredibly difficult if you don't move.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a strategy available to you, but maybe in some form it is. I just decided to burn the whole house down.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. I mean, and moved as far as you could. I mean, like, if you drew a line on the map of the United States, and you drew the longest distance, but I think in some form of that, you got to do it in the same town. I mean, I just think you find out exactly who your friends are,
mm-hmm.
and you know, without trying to be. I mean, I try to have sort of an open philosophy, and I've, you know, been into sort of the Eastern meditation stuff for a long time. But there's also a part of me that still settles scores. I just can't, as much as I try to work on it, you know. And so if you burn me, it was over for good.
I hate to say I would love to get revenge. I'm not that type of person, but it sucks to be, and I think you can understand, but the anxiety for me to like walk into the fresh market or walk into the mall or, God forbid, run into this person. Yet she wrote me off as her friend, but she still sends my parents Christmas cards every year. And my parents are even like, what the hell? You were like our third daughter and you dumped our daughter as a friend and told her nasty things and you're still sending us Christmas cards? Like, this is fucked up.
Oh, I know. I mean, I can't tell you how many people like that burned me when I was living there full time. And then they'll be the first ones to call for tickets to some in LA or, you know, I mean, all the time. And I mean, I just don't even answer the phone. So it's easier to cut off that energy, I think, with a hard cut than it is to do it slowly.
JG, so you burn the house down, and I can get it. Like, I understand where both you and Woo Woo are coming from. You know, sometimes people have the means and the job to just pick up and start over somewhere. But doesn't that shit, the heaviness, still follow you? It doesn't matter how far you move away. Isn't it something that's just still in there anyway? And are you even really dealing with it, though, by not picking up the phone, by moving away, by burning it down, by ignoring it? Is it something you're even really dealing with, or is it something that you eventually know you have to deal with and you're putting it off?
Probably a little bit of both. And it's not just, to me, it's not just about pulling what I call pulling a geographic, which people do all the time. Oh, I'm going to move and none of these problems are going to follow me. It's not about it. For me, it can coincide with a physical move, but it's about a mental move. I mean, literally, the only way I was going to do it is just to shed everything that was associated with that stuff, except for the people that were really there for me, which is a handful. I was such an angry dude when we did that. When we did that first record, the first song that got played, and it got played on NPR in Hampton Roads a lot, was a song called Waterside, which was about how I got stuck in this apartment after I moved out of my house, looking over at that crumbling, you know, crappy mall.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like, that mall is my life. Mm-hmm. And so we cranked out a song about, I mean, it's bitter, angry stuff. But I will tell you, it was hard at first, and then over time, cutting those things off. And then the people that remain, that survive that, you're your friends for life.
Yeah.
But I think you got to just, I mean, absolutely ignore them. I mean, is it healthy? I don't know, Mike, probably not. I mean, it's probably inconsistent with the rest of the stuff I'm doing, but it worked for me.
I feel like this podcast, honestly, these last two episodes, we've been able to open up and really air the dirty laundry, and you'll have to listen to it just because I think it's pretty good what we've talked about and what we've covered. But does a part of you, like, would you ever advise, you know, like, having gone through a public divorce and all this shit, if somebody really gets under your skin and angers you, and is that worth even putting into words, sending her an email and saying, you know, it's been 3 years and I still think you're a fucking bitch?
Probably, because it won't change her perspective, but it might change yours.
Yeah, it might help.
I mean, just getting out. I mean, these people are gonna hurt you, and people are gonna come in and out of your life, and you got to figure out what the balance is of protection versus being open to it and just knowing that's gonna happen. And I decided at least with new people that I met a long time ago that I was gonna assume the good until I was proven wrong. But as a result of being more open-minded or open-hearted about that, you're gonna get burned. It's best to just get it out, write it out, however you want to get it out to that person, and then just cut off the limb.
Yeah, I would even say write it out, but don't send it. Write it out
right,
as if you were going to send it,
mm-hmm.
and keep writing and writing and writing until you can't write anymore, until there's nothing
until
left.
Until you have an album.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Or something like that.
But you could write a fucking memoir. You could write whatever you want. It doesn't, you don't even have to publish it. But just to get that energy out, that's where the most creative shit comes from. From all this,
and
all this bad
stuff. And the thing
stuff.
Is, it's not, it has nothing to do with you. Everybody's watching their own movie. And there is absolutely no way you could have any idea what's truly going on in my mind or even Mike's. And so the only thing that you can control is how you're going to react to people while they're going through their movie. And so you're not going to change them, especially as you get above the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to change their perspective. You're not going to convince them what they did was wrong. You're not going to do any of that. The only thing that you can work on is your reaction to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. And I love that too. Everybody's watching their own movie. There's a big teaching from, his name is Raghu Marcus, and he has a podcast called Mind Rolling, and he talks about the movie of me and how everybody is in it all the time and everybody's playing their own little role. And you can see it. You can see it when you walk out on the street. You can cast everybody. I love that. I love that you said that, JG.
And Mike, well, you know that, you know this, when you get sensitive to it, you can see it coming a little easier. And it's not like you're, and not in a judgmental way, but you sort of see what level of ego people are operating from easier when you sort of work on becoming attuned to that in yourself. And in these, I mean, meditation is probably the easiest way, but there's lots of ways to get there or at least get the radar a little bit more attuned. But everyone's operating from their own movie and their own space of their ego. And you're never going to change that.
No, not at all. And you see it in yourself, too. That's the best part. You know, you can see people more clearly, but you see yourself more clearly, which sucks sometimes. You look at yourself and you go, God, you're a piece of shit. I hate you so much. And then that's where the self-love comes in. And we'll have to talk about that on the next podcast for sure. So, you know what we're going to do? Let's play one of your songs right now, and we're going to play Alone, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, all right, cool. And do you want to, I know some musicians don't like to give the total backstory because they like to paint the picture or have somebody paint their own picture of what the song means to them. Are you one of those musicians, or do you want to give us a backstory?
The backstory is I spend a lot of time daydreaming without my wife in the winter, and you know, the winter, I can't stand the winter. I'm going to be honest. I just, I can't. And even I spent at least a part of it working back on the East Coast, and it gets harder and harder. And it's dark at 4:30, and I just was trying to look forward to something, spring, anything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. JG, cool. Winter Plans Band, and again, we're just going with JG because you have an actual day job that you're not super amped to talk about in accordance with your music. Is that true or false?
Yeah, I try to keep a little separation, but it doesn't really work.
I guess that's another podcast.
That's another day.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for
being
so
candid. Hey, Mike, you got this Eastern thing going. We got to hang out when I'm back in Virginia. I'm going to make sure we do that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't care if it's through whatever you want to do. I'm here for you, JG.
Hey, you know, everybody, a wise man once said to me, don't judge the path, just judge the destination.
Yeah, I'm in, dude. I am in. I love it.
Well, look, everybody go check out the website, winterplansband.com. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, and more. Instagram, Facebook, social media, you're all out there.
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome. JG, thanks, brother.
I'm going to go set my best friend on fire now.
Fun.
Oh, you're a dick. You're a dick.
Hold on, no. That was all figurative.
Oh, man, JG, you're the best. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. Super fun.
Waiting for the sun to come, feeling like it's been so long. Looking for another spring or anything to get through the end of the week. 'Cause I've been down. So tired I can barely breathe.
Winter Plans, Alone, thank you, JG. Beautiful. You can download the record Ghost now or stream it. It's available on all major platforms. Mike and Wu, Only Friends Podcast. Thank you for the love, for the support. We'll talk to you soon. Peace and love.